to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacey and I'm here with Casey.
Hello.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com. And this is episode 29, and our sponsor this week is Mango Moon and Dale Garns. So be sure to listen through to the end of the episode for information on our sponsors. In every episode, we put all the links together of everything we talk about, and we put it in the show notes. If you'd like to see the show notes, just go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page, and you can see the show notes for every episode. Did I say all the things?
I think you did.
I got through it without forgetting any of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready to magically turn knitting questions into knitting answers?
We are.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. I love Very Pink.
I do too.
Your tutorials have saved me time and time again. So thank you so much. I recommend you to every knitter I meet. This podcast is amazing.
That's so nice.
I know. I'm knitting Fair Isle Christmas stockings for my family that I've designed, and the tension is much tighter on the Fair Isle rows than the plain rows, which I understand why, but would like to try to avoid it without having to Fair Isle knit every row. I flick, you inspired me to learn, the main color with my right hand and pick the contrast color with my left hand. I've lately been stretching the stitches a bit on my right hand needle as I go to loosen up the strands in the back, but do you have any other recommendations for consistent tension while knitting Fair Isle two-handed besides practice? I'm using a wool acrylic blend, so I was able to steam block the tension issues out fairly well, but I would like to hear any techniques you may have. Thank you so much, Christine in Kansas City.
Okay. Hi, Christine. There's a bit to unpack here. Okay, first of all, I'm going to jump down to the bottom of your email, and you say, I was able to steam block the tension issues out fairly well, because you're using this yarn that must have enough wool in it that it's blocking out well. It is normal with Fair Isle to have tension issues while you're knitting it. It doesn't look good until after you block it. It does. I don't know anybody who has perfect looking Fair Isle before it's blocked. So that is the fact that your Fair Isle rows look a little bit tighter than the non-Fair Isle rows while you're knitting it. That is normal. And it's not actually something that you need to fix because it looks fine after it's blocked. The other thing is the thing that you said, I've been stretching the stitches a bit on the right hand needle as I go to loosen up the strands in back. And you're wondering if there's anything else. No, that's the thing. That's the thing that you do to get perfect tension in Fair Isle. You always, as you go, you stretch out the stitches on the right hand needle. The further you travel, the further the yarn has to travel from the last stitched worked in that color behind the stitches in the other color. That will stretch out the float. That's the thing to do. And it's actually, it's hard for me to explain this in the podcast, so I will link to my Fair Isle tutorial. All of my Fair Isle tutorials that explain how to do this to get good tension. It's not just like a little trick that you're doing. That is the right thing to do to get good tension when you're doing Fair Isle. Okay.
Hi, Stacey and Casey. Thank you for your podcast. It brings me joy each week. Lately, I've been feeling uninspired by my knitting. Do you have any tips for getting out of a knitting slump? Belinda from Sheffield, UK.
Okay, poor Belinda. She's in a knitting slump.
That stinks.
I don't ever get in a knitting slump because it doesn't matter. I love knitting. Doesn't matter what it is. But I do have advice that I've heard from other people. And that advice is to knit little quick things.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I was going to say.
I think my shaker dishcloth pattern is a good choice because it uses shaping and colors, but your project is over really quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just a plain dishcloth, like a garter stitch dishcloth. It actually has some stuff going on, so it's a bit more exciting, but you can finish it in no time, and then you have this thing that you finished, and then you make another one and another one until you're out of the knitting funk, and then you can start bigger projects mm-hmm. again. You're nodding, because do you get knitting slumps?
Yeah, well, I was thinking there's two different kinds of slumps I get in. Sometimes I'm like really busy with other stuff, like work and kids or whatever. And the idea, like this is probably why I have so many different projects of different types, because the idea of like picking up something that's complicated, I just can't deal. So I would have a simple project that I can just work on.
I do that too.
Yeah. And then...
But then you don't go back and finish them.
I do eventually. I get that inspiration.
Okay, no, finish.
I didn't say your other stuff.
You do finish. It just
eventually, it may take me 2 or 3 years on some things, but I always finish.
You said there were two kinds of slumps you get in.
Or just boredom. And so then to do something that's interesting and tricky.
Oh, something. So you want to have something that is not taking away too much thought. Then you want to have something that's actually kind of consuming and really interesting.
Yeah. Or a new technique. Like I just did this, the beginning of the sweater, and it had a whole new stitch I'd never done in my life. And it was super fun. And you changed colors and the yarn was really great. So that was fun.
Okay.
So.
And little projects. I'm thinking.
Think about what kind of slump you're in. And then are you bored or do you want something simple and fast?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or
so maybe you can have a little project that's complicated, the most complicated dishcloth in the world or something.
Or like I was just telling Stacy offline that I just found Fair Isle hats are super fun.
Yes, I love knitting Fair Isle hats.
Because it's quick and satisfying, but also like I was going through the Fair Isle parts of it a lot faster than the plain knitting part of it.
Because it was so interesting, mm-hmm. so different. And you also get this immediate result of mm-hmm. like, wow, look at this pattern coming through.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's exciting. Okay, we can go on.
Okay. How do you rip out stitches correctly without having to twist the stitch back as you are re-knitting the row? I always tend to have to reposition the stitch. Is there an easy method to remember? Thanks, Stacy and Casey from Mystery Writer.
Mystery Writer. Yes. Well, this is kind of a visual thing, so we're going to link to some videos here. Correctly mounted versus twisted stitches, and another video called Reinserting a Needle into Live Stitches. But I can answer this question. If you've picked up stitches and you know that they're twisted, you can knit them through the back loop to untwist them as you go. Okay, next one.
Okay. Hi, Stacy and Casey. I've heard Stacy mention a few times about using a bigger needle to bind off when the pattern calls for binding off loosely. I just want to make sure I'm understanding. So you use a larger size needle to start knitting and then binding off like normal, just one size up. Thank you for this podcast. I've never listened to one before you, but I love yours. Heather from Graham, Washington. Is that?
Graham, Washington.
Washington.
Yeah. You were wondering if the WA was Washington.
Is it Washington? Or I don't know what I was thinking.
Okay. I know it's Washington because I lived there, not in Graham, but I'm trying to figure out part of Heather's question here. I can just say yes. When I'm doing a regular bind off, why are you laughing at me? Because I'm jumping around.
Yeah.
Yes, I use a bigger needle when I'm doing a regular bind off on something. If I'm not using a stretchy bind off, I'm just doing a regular bind off, let's say, binding off one end of the shawl, of a shawl or something, a scarf or something. And I do that just to make a bind off that matches the stitches below it. It's not to make it looser or anything looser than the fabric below it. It's just to make it match the fabric below it. And I use one size up. That's kind of a standard for me. But the part that I want to jump back to that I didn't understand. So you use a large size needle to start knitting and then binding off like normal?
Yeah, I don't understand that. Maybe the last row to start knitting the last row? Like, do you knit a row with the bigger needle?
No. I just grab the bigger needle in my right hand just for the bind-off
row. Okay, so the right-hand needle's bigger.
Maybe. Yeah, the left-hand needle is still the stitches are still on the other needle.
Right.
Just a bigger needle in my right hand. Right. Yeah, I don't think it's important that we exactly understand what she's saying there. I can just say that that's how I do it. I think I've answered the question.
Did you say just one size up or not?
Just one size up, yeah.
Okay. All right. Hi, Stacy. For the record, I love your videos.
Everyone is just saying the nicest things, and I didn't cut any of it out. I left it all in there and making you read it.
I like that she says, for the record, like we're going
to
put it.
This is not off the record.
For the record, I love your videos. Watch every single one, and I love, love, love your podcast. I really wish it was longer. I feel like it passes way too fast. I'm having an issue with jogless stripes knitting in the round. I've watched your video on how to do it, but I feel like that is used when you are knitting more than one row of a color. I just have one row of one color, so when I knit to the end of the row after starting my new color, I have to knit one more stitch to create the jogless stripe, then start the new color, which I have to do that all over again. It is creating a jog. Am I supposed to move the stitch marker? Thanks for all your help. Diana from Providence, Rhode Island.
I think we talked about this I think we answered this question early on in one of the first few episodes of the podcast. When you're working the color correction jog, and I'll link to that video in the show notes if people want to learn what that's about, you can either work the color correction jog or work single row stripes. You can't have both. You have to work at least two row or two round stripes to be able to do the color correction jog. And the reason that this is a thing is when you're knitting in the round, you're essentially knitting in a spiral. And when you're knitting in a spiral, the beginning of your round where you're changing colors for stripes, there's a little stair-steppy jog. And the color correction jog, the color jog correction trick evens those out and makes it look more even all the way around and not in a big spiral. But you have to have at least two rounds of the color change for that to work.
Okay.
Okay.
I wonder what brand of yarn it is you use in your demo videos, i.e. the log cabin blanket. It looks really nice to work with. Thanks for all you do to make me a better and more confident knitter. Linda Graff from Boonton, New Jersey.
Hi, Linda. Boonton?
Boonton?
I don't know. I've never been there. Thank you, Linda. And I'm trying to think that, well, the log cabin blanket, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes, is a blanket pattern that I designed to use up leftover bits of wool from all kinds of projects. So if you're asking about the finished project, it's all kinds of wool yarns. But in the video, I probably used the yarn that I use like in all of my videos for demonstration, which is Knit Picks Wool of the Andes Bulky. And I use it because it's just a plain, good, sturdy wool yarn that comes in a bunch of colors that show up really well on camera. And the samples that I knit from them end up looking really good, and the stitches are easy to see because it's bulky. So the answer to the question either is one of the millions of leftover bits of wool if you're asking about the finished project, but Knit Picks Wool of the Andes Bulky is the yarn that I use for demonstration in the videos.
Hi, Stacy. I love the podcast and have been a fan of your tutorial videos for years. For my last few projects, I've used the weaving in technique you show in the video, Weaving in Ends. Often it works brilliantly, but sometimes I get a loop of yarn on the right side of the work and can't see why. I pull it out and start again, but sometimes I seem to be plagued by this and end up going back to my old technique of catching the yarn end through the back of the work. If you could tell me what I'm doing wrong, I'd be very grateful. Thank you for your help, Heather. I'm going to mess this one up. Herefordshire, in the English countryside near Wales.
If it's in another country, we're not expected to say it right.
Yeah. Especially the shirt, those Shire, sure.
Sure.
The way they pronounce that is just messes me up.
Thank you, Heather. And her question is that when she's weaving in the ends, sometimes it looks like the end that she's weaving in pokes through on the front of the work. And you just have to be really careful when you're weaving in the end just to grab loops on the back of the work. And if you do see something poking through, you're doing the absolute right thing of pulling that stitch out and pulling the little bit of weaving in the ends out and then working it back in again. But yeah, just be really careful to only grab the back of the loops on the back of the work. And I will link to, I'm trying to think, I have so many videos on weaving in ends. I'll just link to the playlist, the category of weaving in ends in the show notes.
Okay, next question. Hi, Stacey and Casey. Love your podcast. You both have wonderful speaking voices, and I love the sound of your laughter. That's awesome because everybody hates the sound of their own voice.
I know. It's nice to hear. It's nice to hear that it's not unpleasant
for
other people.
It's not grating on you.
Yeah.
An odd thing just happened to me. I just finished a hat using Madeline Tosh, my favorite yarn. I've made dozens of hats with this yarn, but this time when I pulled it out of the water, it, like the Grinch's heart, grew three sizes this day. I am panicked and want to just throw it in the dryer. Is there any hope other than to gift it to someone with a giant head? Thanks, Terry from Star Valley, Wyoming.
Terry, that's terrible. I hope you have a friend with a giant head.
Or could it be a slouchy hat?
It could be a slouchy hat, but she's talking about Madeline Tosh, and it's her favorite yarn, and I'm assuming that she's used it plenty of times, and then she makes this one hat, and suddenly it doesn't act like the hats have before, and it's huge and terrible. I'm thinking what probably happened is that you got some superwash yarn. Mm. you've been using Madeline Tosh, just regular wool yarn, and you got a hank of superwash yarn either accidentally or on purpose, however it happened, because this sounds like the way superwash yarn behaves. Is it's not going to hold its shape as well as non-superwash wool. What is she asking here? I want to throw it in the dryer. I wouldn't throw it in the dryer, but you can try it on. If it doesn't look good as a slouchy hat, you can, or if it's not fitting at all as a slouchy hat, you can use elastic thread in the ribbing part and see if you can't tighten it up. Also, I hope you have that yarn label so you can figure out what was up with that.
Yeah.
Because Madeline Tosh yarn should hold its shape.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I've ever used any superwash Madeline Tosh yarn. Have you?
I don't know. Do they make it?
I don't even know because I haven't used it. Yeah. Okay.
Let us know what happens.
Yes, Terry, you poor thing.
Okay. Hi, Stacey. I'm making a, is it metered or mitered square?
Mitered.
Mitered square blanket with color changes in each square. What is the best way to change colors and leave me relatively few ends to weave? I've tried carrying the colors up to the side, but I don't like the way it looks on the back. I thought you had a video on this, so I'm going to go look again for that. Thank you, Shirley from Roanoke, Virginia.
Shirley is making mitered square blanket. I will link to my video on mitered squares if someone is wondering about that. She wants to alternate colors, and she's tried carrying the colors up the side. She doesn't like the way that looks. And that would be my first suggestion, is just to carry the colors up the sides. But I guess the other option is a trick that I don't like to do. I don't think it looks very good, but you hold the ends mm-hmm. together and knit them together for the first few stitches. So you're, instead of weaving in the ends, you're knitting it into the work. I always think it leaves the work looking kind of thick, and sometimes the other color can poke through to the front of the work.
Can you carry it like a Fair Isle carry? Like not knit
it?
Well,
then it's not going to catch.
Well,
it has to be. The reason that it works is because it's knit in.
Right. But like you actually loop it over the needle as if you're knitting that stitch, or do you just, because I was doing.
Oh, like catching a float, mm-hmm. but every stitch?
No, because that's not going to work. And yeah, that's what I was thinking, but I'm looking, I'm
it would
looking
actually,
at it
unless
in my
you're
head.
Using a sticky wool yarn, that was a good idea. You're thinking, but I'm thinking that unless it's a sticky wool yarn, it would still just pull out. Mm-hmm. I think she's just not happy with the options she has, which is to carry the yarn or to weave it in. And you can try knitting the ends together in the first few stitches to see how it looks. Maybe it'll look good with the yarn that you're using. I'm never really happy with the way that looks, though.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, Shirley.
Okay. You want to take one more?
Sure.
Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I'm Vanya from Uruguay, and I really enjoy your podcast.
That's our first question from Uruguay, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think so. We're going to have to do a map.
That's a good idea.
That'd be fun. Some years ago, I changed a stair steppy bind off in a set in sleeves cardigan for something like grafting. It was a big mistake. The shoulders fell and the cardigan lost structure. Now I have learned a little more, and I know patterns haven't been changed, except you have... I'm not sure that this is interpreting correctly from her English.
It might not be her first language.
Yeah, I know patterns haven't changed, except you have
a knowing result.
A knowing result. I'm not sure what that means. I've also learned some alternatives to step bind off, but I have some doubts. Will the structure of a set in sleeve garment be lost if I change stepped bind off by short row shaping or sloped bind off? Thank you, Vanya from Uruguay.
Vanya, I understand the basis of her question here, because I've had questions that ask this kind of thing before. If you haven't worked a sweater that's knit in pieces, the shoulder is oftentimes a gradual bind off thing so that you have some shaping in it. And I have a video called a sloped bind off, which evens that out, so it's not stair steppy. And it doesn't really make any difference in the final product. It makes it so it's easier to seam, but it doesn't look any different if you do the stair steppy or the sloped way, just because when you're seaming the stair steppy one, I don't know how to explain it. You're not actually seaming the vertical rise on the stair steps. Oh, does that make sense in a podcast?
I think so.
But it does make it easier to seam if you do the sloped bind off instead. Now, she was talking about the big mistake that she made where something was lost all of its structure because she decided to do grafting instead of seaming. Mm-hmm. And this, when you're working on a piece sweater, it's really important not to substitute grafting for a mattress stitch, because the mattress stitch really does create all the structure around where the shoulder is going to hang from the shoulders, the sweater is going to hang from the shoulders, and you have the sleeve openings, and that's the whole weight of the sweater is hanging from there, and the seams in that area are really important for structure. But Vanya learned that lesson. Mm-hmm. So her main question was, will the sloped bind off make any difference? And no, as long as you're doing the mattress stitch, the slope bind off is going to make it easier, and the slope bind off will be in the show notes.
Great.
Link to it.
I think we should do this one. How and where do you store all your finished objects? Carrie from Fullerton, California.
Well, I have a video called Storing Knits for the Summer.
I think she means like you personally.
Like how do I,
like you have a lot of stuff that you have.
That made. I've knit. I store it in Alaska in my family's closet. They get a lot of the stuff that I knit, but, my own stuff, I really do store it the way that I show in that video.
Yeah.
I store the stuff over the summer in the giant Ziploc bags, like the Ziploc bags that are like 2 feet by 3 feet. Mm-hmm. And that's what she means, right? The stuff that I actually wear.
I guess.
That's
how
I do it.
I think she just thinks you have piles and piles of stuff that you've knit.
I have probably more than most, but I end up knitting a lot of stuff that I send to Alaska just because they have a lot more opportunities. I mean, they can wear the wool sweaters, you know, through the summer. Mm-hmm. Up there, it's going to be cold enough in the evening that they can, you know, throw on a cardigan or something. So they get most of it. I don't have to worry about storing anything. I send it all to Alaska.
The state of Alaska is covered in Stacy's knitwear.
Yes. And it's a big state. okay. Are we good now for today?
I think so.
Okay. I want to be sure to mention our sponsor. And this week, our sponsor is Dale Garn and Mango Moon. And I recently did a tutorial on their Fimmel hat. It's a Fair Isle hat. It also has, the pattern has, includes instructions for wristers, little fingerless mitts. And both of them are fun to knit, and the colors, the kits come in very cool. You can get the pattern. The pattern is available in the kit. 3 different colors available for that. And we will definitely link to a picture and the video in the show notes. This was the Fair Isle hat that started me on the Fair Isle hat kick. I think I am currently up to like 16. Everybody and I know got one for Christmas. So, and they like them. They look really good. And they're fun to knit. So that's the Fimmel hat from Dale Garn. Be sure to check the show notes for that. And Casey, if someone wants to find you online, what do they do?
My website is kcknits.com, and that's the letter K, the letter key, the letter key.
There's no letter key.
C. kcknits.com.
And if they're totally confused, there's a link in the show notes.
Yes.
And if you want to find me, there's, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel, or you can go to verypink.com and scroll down to the bottom of the page, and all of my social media buttons are there. That is it for this week. Many thanks to Mango Moon Dale Garn for sponsoring this episode. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.